Welcome to the Bill and Rookie podcast for this, the 21st day of April, 2021. And I wanted to talk today about pitching. Corbin Burns is on fire, killing it. He's putting up incredible numbers here through four starts of the 2021 season. But it got me thinking this morning about, you know, obviously what he's doing is great. Can he sustain it for a whole season? That's the next question. Now, I mean,
nearly impossible, the numbers that he's putting up.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be impossible to be at this pace, but can you win 20? Can you go out and win 20 games and, you know, keep the ERA under 3, let's say, for the entire season and kind of put up some of those kind of numbers? He's talked about, and we mentioned that article where Jed Jerko was kind of giving him the scouting report on himself.
Yes.
From other teams, and it caused him to change some things. But I read another article about him in the Athletic, and he was talking about how, you know, he wants to be the next, you know, Max Scherzer or somebody like that who can sustain, you know, this type of excellence. And obviously, you have to have it first in order to sustain it, and he's off to a great start. So that's the next question. Can he keep it going for a whole season? But it got me thinking about some of the great pitchers that I can remember from growing up and in the recent years. And so I wanted to ask you who comes to mind when you talk about there's a bunch of guys for me, but who comes to mind for like dominant pitchers that you remember from Major League Baseball?
Well, probably from growing up and watching, the most dominant ones that I remember that come to mind. Nolan Ryan always rolls off the tip of your tongue, sure. But I don't recall seeing him pitch that much. I guess more from my era of watching baseball. The two that quickly come to mind when you ask that question are Roger Clemens and Randy Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Nolan Ryan, certainly. There's another guy I remember who flashed. I mean, he was so good. I don't know if you remember the name J.R. Richard.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Played pitched for the Astros.
Astros.
I remember him as the Astro, yeah.
Man, was he a power pitcher. He was a big man, I don't know, six or something. He was an imposing figure, and man, did he bring it. But he didn't last very long as a dominant pitcher. He had a few seasons. I don't remember exactly how many, but he was a big power pitcher that was killing it for a while. Nolan Ryan, of course. Randy Johnson I kind of forgot about. But my favorite, I think probably my favorite, I used to love watching Roger Clemens pitch. Obviously, his reputation is sullied a little bit now. But
a lot, yeah.
He was certainly fun to watch. He was fiery, threw the ball hard. You know, I'll never forget when he got thrown out of that playoff game in California when they were playing the Angels and the Red Sox. I think it was in 86, in a playoff game, like the first batter of the first inning, he gets tossed out of the game for arguing with the umpire, and I thought he was going to lose it. You know, he did lose it, but I thought he was going to, you know, blow his top. But my favorite pitcher of my youth or growing up was Greg Maddux.
Sure, makes sense.
And I think if you look at the numbers, he may be, I think he is, in my opinion, the best pitcher of the era, even though he didn't throw the ball like Roger Clemens or Randy Johnson. He didn't blow guys away. He was, I think, the definition of a pitcher, you know. He was smart. He didn't walk a lot of guys. If you look at his numbers, he was really good at not walking guys. But he was a thinking man out there, and he had to be, kind of, because he couldn't throw the ball 95.
Well, that's the big thing. You had to pitch, right, because you weren't going to blow it by guys. You know, and that's not to detract from the fireballers, because it's impressive. Who wouldn't want to be able to throw 98, 99 miles per hour, right, and blow it by guys? But that's, you know, that's pitching. But then there's pitching when you don't have that fastball. And we all know that everybody can hit a fastball. I don't know what Maddux's fastball topped out at, what, 92?
Maybe. On a good day.
You know, but guys can time that up all day long, right, in the big leagues. And so you've got to be able to keep guys off balance, keep them guessing, throw different pitches. You know, you've got to have multiple pitches that you can go to, and you've got to be able to throw them all for strikes. Otherwise, guys just wait it out on you, right? So absolutely, the true definition of what a pitcher is.
when he left the Cubs and went to the Braves, I used to, that was back in the days of TBS when they used to carry all the Braves games so you could watch them. And I used to record games that he pitched on my VHS, you know, right, VCR. I used to record Maddox's start so I could watch him pitch because he was just a masterful out there. And he was one of those guys that could remember, like, just about everything, every pitch that he's thrown. Like, a guy would come up in the seventh inning with a couple of guys on base and two outs, and Maddox would think to himself, well, a couple of years ago I got this guy out on a changeup, you know, that kind of thing. And that kind of, you know, that always amazes me, too, when guys can have that type of recall, those kind of memory, where you go, man, I remember getting this guy out with a two-seamer back in, you know, six seasons ago or something. He was that kind of a guy, you know, and when I think of guys like that, you think about Jack Nicklaus, who can recall, like, about every shot he ever hit, you know, that kind of thing. But to me, Greg Maddux was one of my favorite pitchers of all time. But there were some good ones. Dwight Gooden was awesome. Didn't like him much because he pitched for the Mets, but he was awesome. And when he came up, he was really young. I mean, he was only 18 or 19, I think, when he came up to the big leagues. And he dominated for a long time. But to me, Maddox is the man. We'll see if and I know you had you talk about Jack Morris a lot, too.
I saw him in Game 7 in the World Series, which was the best game I've ever seen pitched in person. And he was one of those guys, too, Jack Morris, that was, you know, kind of a, I don't think he threw as hard as Roger Clemens. He was crafty, but he kind of had that fire and that meanness, a little bit like Roger Clemens that you were talking about, you know.
Yeah, he did.
Would blow his stack, and you know, managers were afraid to come out and take the ball from him at times. I know Tom Kelly was when he was managing the Twins, you know, especially in that Game 7, 10-inning game, you know, that the Twins won, 1-0, you know. Tom Kelly may have come out to the mound, but he knew he wasn't getting the ball out of Jack Morris's hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, circling back to Corbin Burnes, where this whole conversation started, and seeing if he can keep it going for the Brewers, and you talk about becoming a 20-game winner and all that stuff. And to me, it'll be interesting to take a look at Corbin Burnes' numbers at the end of the year, his ERA, his strikeout to walk ratio, which, you know, he hasn't walked a guy, as we all know right now. You know, and his wins, but the odds of him winning 20 games are stacked heavily against him because of who he plays for. First of all, you know, he's only going to be going 6-7 innings. You know, not going to be a lot of complete games in there. Probably not going to be a lot of 8-inning outings in there. And, you know, right now the offensive run support is in there too. So he might even be exiting games where it's tied, or he's down 1-0, or whatever it might be, and he won't factor into the decision. I mean, he's got a .37 ERA right now. Four starts, he's 2-1.
Yeah,
you know. So I
that's
think
true. I guess I didn't really think about that too much, but you're right. The way that Craig Counsell uses his pitchers, there's going to be a lot of occasions when he'll do his thing, but then it gets turned over. Then it's out of his hands.
Right, you know,
turned over the bullpen.
So odds are stacked against him. So I'll look at those other numbers, and it's just phenomenal what he's off to, though. And shoot, I mean, we talked about it on the experience this morning. The whole starting staff has been incredible, beyond your wildest dreams. And you know, along with Burnes, it'll be interesting if Brandon Woodruff can continue on pitching like he's been pitching. He's got great numbers, but they pale in comparison to what Corbin Burnes has done. You know, yeah. Freddie Peralta might be a little bit young and a little bit inexperienced to hope that he can keep up with his 2 ERA right now. And then you just don't have a lot of, I don't have a lot of confidence, let's say, in Adrian Hauser and Brett Anderson keeping up the pace that they're on. You know, somehow they're working magic with their 2.65 and 3.14 ERA. I would suspect by the end of the season, you know, they're going to be that 4.5, closer to 5 ERA guy, which, you know, is fine for the back end of the rotation, I guess, when you're the Brewers. But it's been nothing short of phenomenal what these guys have done to begin with. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is. And Burnes obviously off to a great start, and we'll see if he can keep it up and continue this greatness as the season goes on. It's going to keep our attention, that's for sure, hopefully all the way through the end of the regular season and into the postseason, perhaps. Well, if it happens, we'll be talking about it on The Experience. And we hope that you'll join us every Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. right here on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.